that. The title of the message today would be in the form of a question as we start out. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Acts chapter 19. And I'll read the first seven verses. An occasion in the life of Paul as he was traveling on his missionary journeys, and he ran into a group of 12 men, 12 people, disciples of John the Baptist. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now the term Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit are synonymous terms, okay? So the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid of that word, the Holy Breath person of God, the Holy Ghost, since you believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. It was before Christ had been revealed. It was before the time of his death, burial, and resurrection had taken place. And when they heard this, they were baptized. Well, let's go back to verse 4. Then said Paul, Verily, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, that stage of it, saying unto the people, They should believe on him which should come after him, that he is on Christ. When they heard this, at the moment they heard this from Paul, they were baptized. Notice the difference now. They were baptized again. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came unto them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I just want to say something very quickly here. Tongues, as were a sign in the early church, are no longer a sign today. And I'm not going to develop that in this message. That's another time. But the word means glossolalia. It was a known language. And on the day of Pentecost, people heard and they were able to speak. And the language thing, the barrier was taken care of. And when that which is in part is done away with, that which is complete has come. That's the perfect word of God. And the word of God takes care of all of that. So we don't any longer have the sign gifts of tongues. And the modern tongues movement, if you had studied it, it's inferior in every way. That's a different time, a different message. But I just wanted you to sort of realize where we were on that. So, Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They spake with languages and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. There were just 12 of them in that group that Paul encountered. Now, it's important, I think, and sometimes people make fun of that, that we really realize what the original wording was in the original Greek language. And I know I have an inspired Bible here before me, the King James Bible. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we might misunderstand what a word says and might not be aware of what it really is talking about. But when he's asking them in verse 2, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And that might imply to someone that there is a second work of grace somewhere later on after you have been saved. But what Paul was saying to them is when you made that decision under John the Baptist, and his preaching was a preaching of repentance, a variety of things went on there, did you at that point receive the Holy Spirit? were you saved and born again the Bible way so that you receive the Holy Spirit. And if we don't understand that that was a transitional time, John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance. He was looking to the coming of Christ. Christ, by the way, was baptized, not because he had to repent of any sin, but to set the example of what he was going to do, be crucified, buried, and be raised as a result of the resurrection of his life. That's what he was depicting there. He wasn't regenerated because of it. It was a transitional time. We really need probably about 2 hours to talk about that. But I'm just saying, if you don't understand that, you'll get the wrong impression, and you'll think that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is something that comes later on after you have been saved. Somewhere down the pike, you receive the Holy Ghost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That isn't the way it is. It's doctrinal error to teach that. Ultimate sanctification in this life, that teaching comes from an erroneous interpretation of some scripture in the Bible. There are those that tell you that you can come to the place in your Christian life that you never sin again. Now, if you're standing by somebody with your wife and they tell you that, grab your wife. Watch out. Because nobody comes to the place that they don't sin again in this life. You say, well, does that mean we're just free to sin? Go ahead and do whatever you want to. Hoop-de-doo, just sin. No. You, as a child of God, will be chastened for your sin. But you're going to sin, and the Bible tells us that in 1 John. We're going to fail God. We will not have total perfection until we're in heaven. Amen. And then we'll have a body someday like that of Christ. And so errors like that, and that's where some of these errors like snake handling in West Virginia and Kentucky, in some of those places, where they still do that in their services. I thank God he never called me to a church like that. Amen. I wouldn't have took it anyway. But those people who have misunderstood that have been bitten and died. And they're teasing the devil in all of that. That isn't what the Bible is saying there. But I'm just giving you some examples of saying, be careful or you'll get the wrong idea of what you read and what you've been told. Now, there was their lack, their defective faith at this point in their lives that Paul was dealing with. This could be argued, I suppose, but there are many conservative Bible scholars that believe that these were not really totally born again. They were looking forward to the coming of Christ, and they were following the teachings of John the Baptist, but probably had not fully entered into the realization of what it was to be born of the Spirit, born from above. Now listen to what John said in chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, here it is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 of that same chapter, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the physical birth, and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible is teaching. And that's what the Bible says clearly here. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The greatest witness to assurance is the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And I want to tell you that no man should be able to mistake fire. Amen? We know what fire is. And the fire of the presence of the Holy Spirit who moves into your life when you get saved is a real thing. And you will know that it's there. There, I heard about a pet monkey who got out in the cold. Read about this monkey, little monkey who was freezing, and he came up to a house and he looked through the window, and in that window he saw a fire at the fireplace, what appeared to be to him a fire at the fireplace. And so that little pet monkey finally found a way to get into that house, And he went up to that fireplace and held its little hands there and froze to death. The reason he froze to death was because it was a painting. It wasn't the real thing. And I'm telling you, the secret of the universe is really going to look at fire. The secret of the universe is the sun. And if there was no sun, my friend, we wouldn't be existing today. The fire of life, the fire that is there, the sun that is there. And the secret of our faith is the presence, the burning presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our bosom, testifying that we are saved. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit burns away the dross. I'm glad the Holy Spirit gets rid of selfishness and our affinity to sin, our pleasure in sin and our wanting to sin. And the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Paul walked up to you today and looked at you face to face, and he would ask you this same question, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? What would you say? How would you answer him? First thing is, we have to be regenerated. What do you mean? Saved, born again. And following John the Baptist's teaching is not enough. That's not enough. That could be a reformation. You say, well, I'm reforming my life. That's all right to reform your life, but you can be reformed, my friend, and you'll still be lost and go to hell. Reformation doesn't save you. You say, well, I've been baptized in water. You may be baptized, but you're lost. A lot of people are depending on infant baptism. Infant baptism is not taught in the Bible. And infant baptism has nothing to do with saving anybody. Baptism does not save you. It is the grace of God that saves you. You may say, well, I'll practice asceticism. John the Baptist was one that had funny clothes and ate a peculiar diet. And you may say, well, I'm going to quit this and quit that and not do this and not do that and turn over a new leaf, and surely God will take me to heaven. But asceticism, withdrawal from of these worldly things, are not the things that save us. You can say, but I'm earnest in what I believe. I'm honest in what I believe. So are all the people who are involved in their religion. But they'll still die and go to hell if they don't come to Christ. Amen. You have to be born again. You say, well, I'll keep the law. I'll do the best I can. Yeah, that's what Saul was doing when God arrested him. And Saul got saved and became Paul. He was saved by grace, not by the keeping of the law. And he was very good at it. There's nothing I can do to be saved except trust Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do to be saved. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, John said. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That is what John the Baptist was testifying to about Jesus. And again, back in John 3:3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born physically in this life, and then you have to be born by the Holy Spirit of God to be part of the family of God. So regeneration, that is salvation, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts and draws us to God. It is a work of baptizing us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes, John the Baptist said, I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so the Holy Spirit, the ascension gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, came. And we have the promise of the Father in Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God. Acts 1:5, for John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When we get saved, we are immersed and baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:3, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And I can tell you today, if you're saved, there is going to be the evidence of the Holy Spirit being in your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so there's a glaring contrast between the Christian and the world. And I can tell you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is something that we need in the church. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the church. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We may have passion, feeling, burning in our souls, responding to God, life, light, joy, His presence, the glory of God being here. And the 12 disciples were denying Peter. And after Pentecost, something happened. Those 12 disciples, we saw them leaving and running. And after all of this, something happened to them. What happened to them? What happened to them was they were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after Pentecost, what happened to them? They were bold. They were on fire. They were martyrs. They died for the cause of Christ, because they had the Holy Spirit who baptized them into the body of Christ. Now, I'm not demeaning the local church. Don't misunderstand. But there is the baptism of the Spirit of God that places us into the body of Christ. And then we have our individual lives. I say, do you believe in Jesus? You might say, certainly I believe in Jesus. Well, where's the fire? Where's the commitment? Where's the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives for these things? Where's the passion? Where's the dedication if we indeed have been baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd rather see this church in ashes than to see it dead and not have the power of God, the sepulcher of pulselessness, lifelessness, all of those things that come. And we need to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. May the fact that I love God make a difference in my life and in your life and in the lives of others. And we need to pray, Holy Spirit, breathe on me, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. These are all things that we need in our lives for the glory of God. And if we've been saved, the power of God is present with us. And we know that He is present with us. God is working. And we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit witnesses to us and tells us that we are saved, that we belong to God. And the Holy Spirit places us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who indwells you and lives in your heart and will stay and seal you until the day that your redemption is totally complete, and you will never ever lose your salvation. It's not going to happen. I thank God that we have the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what Paul was dealing with when he was talking to them. He said, you've got a problem here. You have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You haven't been placed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were some problems there because of that. And Paul laid his hands upon him. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with languages and prophesied, which was a sign back in that day. And so a person has to come to Christ, and they have to confess their sins, and they have to get rid of anything else that they might be depending on to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you get saved and really get saved, you admit you're a sinner, you pray and ask Christ to come into your heart, you know that you've been born again, you know that you've trusted Christ, that very instant the Holy Spirit of God begins to indwell your life, and He guides you and leads you all through your life if you'll let Him do it. Now you say, "Preacher, I just don't know if I can really accept that and really understand that the Holy Spirit of God lives in me and seals me." Let me tell you, it's not a system, it's a Savior. It's not some kind of argument, but it is a person. The Holy Spirit moves into your life. And He seals you until the day of your redemption, and that's why you cannot lose your salvation. You say, "Well, if I can't lose my salvation, can't I just live like the devil? And I'm going to go ahead and go to heaven anyway." I wouldn't advise trying that. You can, number one, if you are saved and the Holy Spirit indwells you, that's not going to be the attitude you have. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into righteousness and righteous things. And that's exactly what He's going to do. He's going to lead you that way. The Holy Spirit of God is going to indwell you, and He will not let you off the hook. And if you can say, "I can just live any way I want to, and it doesn't bother me," friends, something's wrong. Something is really wrong in your life if you can live like the devil and have things in your life that don't belong in your life, and you know they don't belong in your life, and it doesn't bother you, something's wrong with what you got. You may not have gotten saved. That may be the whole problem. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and He is forever a witness to your soul and your conscience and your mind and your heart that He is there. And if there's sin in your life, it's going to bother you. And you're going to come to God and do something about it. You're not going to let it go on and on and on and not live for the Lord. It's not going to happen. We look at the fact that in our text and what was going on and all of the things that happened, Paul was dealing with the issue at hand, and he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you got saved?" He was dealing with a very important thing. And then after that took place, look at what happened. They said they had John's baptism. Then said Paul in verse 4, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized, how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands on them, and they were the people that the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with evidences of the tongues that happened in their life. And so all the men were about 12. There were 12 of them. And they experienced all of this. It wasn't a massive group that was there, but they experienced all of this. And Paul had to correct them on the matter of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and this transitional period of time where the Holy Spirit of God immersed them into the body of Christ and He began indwelling them and sealed them. You meet people that say, "Well, I don't know if I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Maybe I'm saved." Let me tell you something. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God will witness to you whereby you cry what? "Abba, Father." You say, "I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure about it." The problem probably is that you maybe did not do the right thing. You didn't trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Therefore, you do not have the assurance of your salvation and the witness of the Spirit of God living in your soul. Because when Jesus moves in, you don't have to say, "Well, I sort of hope I'm saved." My friend, when the Spirit of God moves in, He gives you the witness of Himself whereby you declare, "I know I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven." Amen. Thank God He still lives in us. He's that person that's always bothering us. When there's sin in our lives, He witnesses to us and says, "You need to get rid of it. Get it out of your life." And I can say to you today that there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You can't trust anything else. These people did the best they could with the light they had. But when you have the light of the true gospel, my friend, whether you have it or not in the world, you're responsible to it. But certainly when God has given you that light, you'd better act and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's eternally and everlastingly too late. I meet people who say, well, I hope I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved. I want to tell you today that I know I'm saved. You say, well, that's spiritual arrogance. No, it's Bible truth in the witness of the Holy Spirit. When I got saved as a little boy, 9 years of age, in a little country church in northeast Louisiana, I went forward on a Sunday night, asked Christ to come into my heart, and I promise you, He moved into my heart. And it was there that I had the witness of the Holy Spirit of God that I was saved, and ever since, I know and I have known, based on that witness and the authority of the Word of God, that I am a child of God's. I know I've been birthed into the family of God. I've been placed into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God indwells me today because I'm saved, and He's always witnessing and saying, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, You are my child, You belong to me, and You ought to live like it and do what is right. Now, there have been times that I haven't acted like I was a child of God, and there have been times that I've been out of fellowship with God, but there's never been a time in my life of what I could go back to the Word of God and know how I got saved, where I got saved, and I truly got saved. The Spirit of God witnesses to us that we belong to God. I'm glad that we can know we're saved. Do you know you're saved today? Say amen. If you really know that. If you don't know that, then you need to get saved. And I believe these men began to live a different kind of life once the Holy Spirit moved in. And they realized, hey, I am saved by the grace of God. They had no problem following the Lord, doing what was right, doing what He told them to do in the matter of identifying with Him because the Holy Spirit moved in. One of the problems of people who don't follow the Lord and believe His baptism is maybe they really didn't get saved because the Spirit of God moves in and He tells you this is the right thing to do. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful story this is where these men came. It seems to be just a little bit difficult to comprehend between the Old and the New Testament. But I'm telling you that Paul told them what would happen to them and that he further explained that salvation is by grace and grace alone. And when you are really saved by depending on the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament era, the Holy Spirit moves in your heart. And I'm telling you, you can never be the same. And if you can say today, well, preacher, I can sin and I can do anything I want to, and it really doesn't bother me. I have no compulsions about what I'm doing. It doesn't bother me. My conscience might bother me a little bit, but it really doesn't bother me. Then, friend, you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in, He's going to deal with you when you're about to sin. And He is the one that witnesses and seals us. Thank God He seals us when we're saved by His presence in our life. You see, I can say today, I know if I died, I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, how can you say that? That's arrogant. Who do you think you are saying you know that if you die, you're going to heaven? I can say it because I believe what the Word of God says. And I can say it because I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in me telling me, yes, you're saved. Yes, you belong to me. Yes, you're my child. And if you died today, you're going to heaven. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. And the moment you get saved, dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament era moves into your life, into your heart. He begins to indwell you, and He never, never leaves you. That's why, if you can sin and live in sin, and it doesn't bother you, friend, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Because when the Holy Spirit moves into our hearts, He is forever witnessing to us and convincing us and convicting us of sin in our lives. That's part of what he does. We have to be saved by grace. It isn't our works that saves us. It wasn't their works that saved them. It's by grace. And when we get saved by grace, we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't depend on anything else. We know that we have to believe on Him. And when we believe on Him, and only when we believe on Him, does the Lord Jesus Christ move into our hearts. And the very moment He really moves in, you don't have to wonder about it. He witnesses to us through His Spirit and says, "You are now my child." May I say to you, if you don't have that witness today, you need to get it. You say it's arrogance to say, "I know I'm going to heaven, I know I'm saved." No, no. It's Bible to say, "I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven." If you can't say that today, I encourage you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have to deal with this. That is, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in our lives. And we cannot live like the devil because the Holy Spirit witnesses to us and tells us when something is wrong in our lives. And the Holy Spirit of God deals with us, and we know today, not only does He witness to us that we need to be saved if we're not saved, but after we're saved, the witness is strong to us that if there's sin in our hearts, something is wrong in our lives, and we need to get it straight. The Holy Spirit of God moves in. He puts His finger on our sin. He tells us what's wrong. He tells us that we need to do something about it. And if we don't listen to Him, then the Holy Spirit of God will take out His heavenly razor strap and wear us out until we get back in fellowship with God. I'm glad that we're saved by grace. I'm glad that God permits the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to convince us of sin, and to lead our lives and guide our lives, that we would do what God wants us to do. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? If you truly got saved, I mean really got saved, there's someone living in you that testifies to you that you are saved, that you know you're saved, and He will convict you and convict you of any sin in your life, and He'll keep bothering you until you do something about it. And if you don't do something about it, He'll just go ahead and take you to heaven. There is a sin unto death. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that we in the New Testament era have the witness of the Spirit in our lives that we totally belong to God. And we ought to live like it, amen? We should act like it. Let's stand, please. Have you received the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, really saved, then you have. And He put you in the body of Christ. And then the next question would be, if you don't have that witness, would you be willing to come today and trust Christ as your Savior and get that witness? And then the third thing I challenge you in is if the Holy Spirit lives in you and you're really saved, if there's something He's speaking to your heart about today, thank God He moved in. Thank God He lives in you. Thank God He witnesses. Thank God He convinces us and convicts us of sin. If there's something in your life today that doesn't belong there, would you do something about it? Come and confess it to God. Fathers, we come to You in prayer. I pray that if there's anyone here who does not have that witness of the Spirit in their heart, that they're truly saved, that today they'd be saved. I pray, dear God, that we who are children of Yours, who do have the Holy Spirit, who do know that we're saved, that we would not grieve Him by our sins and our rebellion and our unwillingness to bow our hearts in obedience to You. You know our hearts. You know our needs. Lord, I'm thankful that we can know for sure that we're saved and the Holy Spirit indwells us. Please help us to listen to Him. Please help us to act on the moving of the Spirit of God in our hearts today. We'll give You the praise for the results. In Jesus' name.